Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Well, today we get to wrap up our sermon series on Money Matters. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And everybody's like, man, I'm glad this is almost over, Pastor Jimmy. Woo! Has anybody enjoyed it? How about that? Let's ask that question. Has anybody not enjoyed it? Let's ask that question. I see you back. It's okay. Just be you. No shame in your game. Come on. It is not easy sometimes to talk about finances. Amen? Amen? And it's really hard when you're a pastor to talk about finances because people have this mentality that all the church wants is your money. And that's not the truth. I don't want your money. But the Lord does. Okay? But He wants more than our money. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Lord wants more than our money. He wants our heart. And if He has our heart, the money follows. As the Bible says, where our treasure is, there our hearts will lie. Amen? Amen. So if we just figure out how to do what we just sang, if we'll just figure out how to do the words we just sang, Lord, I give you my
heart.
Do we? Sounds great in a song. Really moving when you sing it with a lot of instruments. But when it comes time to do it, it can be so challenging. Amen? Amen. But I want you to know that I believe that we are on a course, that we are on a track, that God's going to bless in the days and the months to come. Amen?
Amen?
If we can learn to honor God with everything we have, I believe God will bless us with everything He has. I believe that with all my heart. And so this morning, we're going to wrap up this sermon series on Money Matters. We talked the first week about money being a matter of the heart. The second week, we talked about money being a matter of obedience. Then we talked about last week, money is a matter of generosity. And today, we're going to talk about money being a matter of worship.
Amen.
Because the Lord wants us to move from obedience to generosity. To worship.
Amen.
Because when it becomes worship, we don't even have to think about it. We just do it. We don't even think about it. We just do it. Why? Because it's a part of our worship. Amen? Amen. But I want to recap a few things with you this morning. Just from the last few weeks, some things that we've learned that I just want to push home. If there were some things I would want you to take away with you from this sermon series to remember long after this series is over, things that I think will change our lives and transform our lives for the kingdom. Because God wants to bless us to be a blessing. How many of you know that? And so this is not about self-edification. This is not about me. It's not about you. But it's about the kingdom of God. And it's about the kingdom of God advancing the way the kingdom of God was meant to advance. And that takes everything we have. Amen? Amen. So one of the first truths that we learned, which has been the hardest truth, I think, for everybody to swallow and to grasp, and I was always taught, do hard things first. So we're just going to cover the hard thing first. Is that good? Hey, we don't own anything. That's one of the hardest principles, Big Andy, to live with. We don't own anything. It almost makes our everyday labor seem futile. Why do we work hard? To make money. Why do we want to make money? So we can own things. But at the end of the day, we don't own anything. Everything in heaven and earth belongs to the Lord. Everything in heaven and earth belongs to God. Does that mean we don't work hard? Absolutely not. In fact, just the opposite. We work even harder. Why? Because we are stewards of what the Lord has given us.
Yes.
And we work harder because we're doing it for the Lord. Okay? Anybody here own a house that you rent out to somebody to live in? Any landlords own a home? You got a home somewhere and you rent it out. Anybody ever let somebody borrow something? And you let them borrow it, but you give them kind of special instructions on, hey, do this, but don't do that. If you're going to wear that, bring it back clean. You know what I'm saying? Don't break it. Don't. Why? Because we're letting you borrow it. So please treat it the way I ask you to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wonder if we do that with what the Lord has given us. Because everything we have is a gift from the Lord. And at any given moment, he can take it away. Even the breath that we breathe. The song that we sing, the breath that we breathe, our eyes that see, our ears that hear, our mouth that speaks. It's all a gift from the Lord. And at any moment, he can remove that from us. Any tangible thing we have comes from him. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. That whole thought process that the shillings in your pocket today will be in somebody else's next week. That's a reality. For most of us, that's a reality because you're going to spend it somewhere. And you're going to spend it somewhere, and then that cash register is going to give it away to somebody else. And so those shillings in your pocket are going to be in somebody else's probably by the end of the week. But yet we let those little pieces of paper drive our life so many times. Huh? Am I right? Okay. We don't own anything. When we pass, it's gone. It's not ours. We're only here to work it and take care of it. You guys remember that? From Genesis, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were called to work it and to take care of it, but never called to own it. Work it and take care of it. And that's what we're called to do with the things that God blesses us with. We're called to care for it and to work. Okay? That's been God's plan from day one. We don't own anything. We only steward it for the Lord. The second thing is God's blessings come inside of God's boundaries. How hard is that to battle with? We want God's blessings in our life. How many of you want to be blessed? Raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand. When you ask that question, everybody raises their hand. Yes! Bless me! We have no problem getting in the front of that line. Until we realize that the only way it's going to happen is if you live inside of God's boundaries. And then everybody says, you know what? I think I'll come to the back of the line. Because there's a few things in life, there's a few areas of life I just kind of like to be 1 foot in and 1 foot out, Pastor, if that's okay with you. I mean, I'll give, but 10%, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Pastor? 10%? You want me to give 10% of everything I have? Yes. Well, I'm just going to stay right here with 1 foot in. I'll give when I have a chance, but nah, I ain't giving that 10%. That's on you. I mean, if that's how you choose, that's fine. But just remember, God's blessings come inside of God's boundaries. And if we want God's blessings, we have to operate inside of his principles and his precepts and what he says in his word. We got to learn to test where we invest. This is probably one of the things that's hit me the most as I've looked over our finances as a family, and I look at the places where we spend our money. And, you know, I don't have a lot of recreational fun here in Dar. It's not like there's a lot of things to go do, unless you want to go get sand in your toes and look at the beach and I don't know. There's not a lot of recreational things here in Dar. I mean, if I'm at home, I've got a couple of things I love to do. I love to go drink good coffee, and I love to read good books. And for me, enjoyment is finding a great book and sitting somewhere with a good cup of coffee and enjoying my afternoon. When I was younger, I liked to go play and get crazy and do funny stuff like that and expend all of my energy physically. Now I just like to expend all my energy mentally, Andy. It's a getting older thing, I guess. I don't know. But I've been looking at where I spend my money. Where do we invest our finances? What are we doing? Are there areas in my life where I can make some better decisions that might have a greater impact on our church and on our kingdom? Are there areas, I mean, even if it's just a little bit, maybe it's 30,000 shillings that's going here every month, or maybe it's 20 going here. Is there anything? Why? Because it's not even about the amount. It's about the obedience. It's all a matter of the heart. Are there things that are taking up my heart space where Jesus should be? So we got to test where we invest. Is Jesus pleased with where we spend our money? Is Jesus pleased with the way we spend our finances? We got to test where we invest. We got to learn to give the best of the first. Remember that? Well, what are we supposed to give, Pastor? Well, we don't give Jesus our sloppy leftovers. I mean, if Jesus came to dinner, you wouldn't make him wait outside till everybody else had eaten and then let him come in and have whatever's left, would you? If Jesus was coming to your house for dinner, is that what you would do? Hey, everybody just go ahead and eat, get what you want, and we'll let Jesus come in when we're done and he can have the leftovers. How many of us would do that? Anybody? Huh? Anybody? But why do we do that with our finances? We get paid and we let everybody have what they want or what they need, and then we just let Jesus have whatever's left over. That's why the Bible says give him the best of the first. And if we'll give him the best of the first, he'll bless the rest. If we give him the best of the first, he'll bless the rest. Amen? The best of the first. But what's the tithe? It's the tithe of everything. It's 10% of everything that we have. It's biblical. It started before the law. There's Old Testament believers that, well, that's just Old Testament. No. Jesus didn't come to erase the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to erase it. He came to do what the Old Testament, what the old law couldn't do, which was redeem man. And so when we begin to talk about that, you remember we talked about the law versus grace, and grace always does much more than the law ever could, that the grace of Jesus always goes farther than the law ever could, and that we needed grace. But with that grace comes even greater responsibility. Jesus said it this way, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, don't even look at a woman lustfully. You've heard it said, do not commit murder. But I tell you, don't even be angry with your brother. What the law established, grace does even that much more. So we want to talk about tithing as part of the law. Okay, you don't like that, so let's make our money a matter of grace. You've heard it said to give 10%, but I tell you, give everything. That's what Jesus would tell you. Give it all. That's what he would say. The tithe of everything, whether we earn it or we've been given it, whatever it is, 10%. 10% is 10% in any language. 10% is the same in English as it is in Swahili, or in French, or in German, or in Dutch, or whatever. Whatever you speak, 10% is 10%. The amount doesn't change from language to language. 10% is 10%. But we realize when it comes to the tithe and it comes to following biblical principles and godly boundaries, that the one thing that we learned is that obedience leads to abundance. Amen. Jesus said, if you will do this, see if I will not open the storehouses of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. If you do this, then I will do this. We get it backwards. We always say, Jesus, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. If you'll make me rich, Jesus, I'll give you anything you want. Because how many of us, when it comes to our finances, say, well, if I had it to give, I would give. Well, I don't have enough to give this month. I can't afford it. Well, I got news for you. You can't afford not to give. Why? Because the Bible says, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. That we get what we give. We get what we give. We understand that. We've shared that before. You can't plant a seed of corn in a large field and expect the whole field to be full of corn. But you got to plant many seeds. Why? Because it's a large field. And a lot of corn doesn't come from one corn seed. But you have to plant many. And that's easy to understand. That's common math. But yet that principle of sowing and reaping that we use in the kingdom of God becomes very challenging when it comes to our finances. Because we want to sow a shilling but expect 10 million in return. We struggle with giving God the 10%, but when we give, we want him to give us 1,000%. Hello? I'm hitting, some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, you're not making any noise, but you're shaking your head. So I'll take that as a, hey, we got you. I prepared myself for not a lot of amens today. I'm okay with that. We come back next week and start talking about grace and love and all that. This church get loud. But right now, it's really quiet in the house. It's okay. I hope if you're like me, you've been challenged the last few weeks. You're just growing and challenging. It's tough, man, when you get pushed to grow and God stretches you. Nobody likes to be stretched, but we're like rubber bands. Unless we're stretched, we're useless. Amen. God's got to stretch us to make us powerful. Amen. There's no energy in a rubber band that's not stretched. But sometimes we just got to be stretched in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hey, when we give God our hearts, he gives us his. Money's a matter of the heart. If we'll give God our heart, we'll have his. And this giving thing will be nothing. It's not even a challenge. Why? Because our hearts will grieve for the things that grieve the heart of the Lord. Our hearts will hunger for the things that God hungers for. Our passions will be those passions that God gives us. And our drive and our desires will become those that are given to us by the Lord. Why? Because when we give the Lord our heart, he gives us his. And then we become driven by the things of God. We learned a little bit about the power of release. That release brings increase. The hardest thing to do is let go. You don't know how hard I worked for this, Pastor Jimmy. You don't even know. Blood, sweat, and tears. For a month I worked for this. It's my paycheck. I ain't letting go. And in the background, you can hear all the angels singing. And what are they singing? Let it go. Let it go. And they're waiting for you just to go. But we don't. We just go, let it go. Right? But the Bible tells us a different story, that if we'll learn to release, God will bring increase. Oh, you got stories from cover to cover of Scripture that prove that the woman with the oil and the flour in the Old Testament, when the prophet came and said, hey, fix me something to eat. And she goes, I can't. I don't have anything. I'm about to go make one more meal for me and my son, and we're going to die. He said, no, 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 lady. Listen to me. Just make me one cake of bread. Just one. She goes inside. She makes the prophet a cake, brings it out. Serves the man of God, and what happens in the house? The Bible says the oil and the flour never ran dry. Why? Because when you release, it brings increase. What about the boy and his lunch on the hillside? Jesus is ministering to the multitude, and they're hungry, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we got to send them away so they can eat. They're saying, we don't need to meet their need. They're hungry. They got to go. They're hungry. They got to go. Couldn't meet the need, Benjamin. These are the disciples. They wouldn't meet the need. They looked at Jesus and said, they got to go fix themselves. They got to go take care of their own needs. They're hungry. We got to let them go. Jesus says, hold on. Wait a minute. You feed them. But they look at Jesus and we don't have anything, Jesus. How many times is that our response? How many times is that our response in church when there's a need and we got to take up an offering for a generator? Oh, I'm going to hit you where you live, Glory. You know me. I'm coming right at you. I ain't got it, Pastor. I don't have any money. Well, we still don't have a generator. Pastor, we got to send them away. You feed them. We don't have anything, Jesus. What are we going to do? Figure it out. So what do? They go get what they can find on the hillside, and they bring it to Jesus. And this poor little boy got mobbed by the disciples. They took his lunch, them bullies. Now, I don't think it played out like that. I think that young man knew who Jesus was. I think he had heard the stories, and I think he had listened to Jesus before. Jesus was famous, you know. And I think this young boy said, hey, you need it, Jesus. It's yours. Take it. Take it. You can have it, Jesus. Use it. All of it. Jesus takes it. Bible says he begins to break it, blesses it, and it goes out, and they fed everyone. And when they were finished, Bible said there were 12 baskets full, not one bag with five loaves and two fish. It wasn't just one bag. There were five baskets full of food left over for that boy to take home. He took home more than he brought.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because release brings increase. So many times we just walk away with what we came with, and that's all we ever have, because we're afraid to release and let God bring the increase.
Amen.
Release brings increase.
Amen.
It's biblical. It's from cover to cover, you read it. That release brings the increase. And the last one is this, and I love this because this is what I love to do with my life. We are blessed to be a blessing. The reason that God blesses us is so that we can in turn be a blessing to someone else. We were not called to hoard what God gives us or to hold on to it, stockpile it, but we're blessed to be a blessing. Okay? We got to be open on both ends, you know what I'm saying? Anybody ever been closed on one end? Let that sit there, because that's what it does, and it doesn't feel good. And sometimes, I say this in church, and I don't want you to be offended, but the reality is that sometimes we need a financial bowel movement in the church. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are like, that's gross. But the reality is sometimes we need a movement in the church in order for God to bless the church. Sometimes we can get stopped up. We get financially constipated as Christians, and God can't do anything with us. It's a whole message in that somewhere. And it doesn't feel good to be that way. Trust me. Everybody in this room, you knows how that feels. But you understand how freeing it is when you're no longer constipated, right? There's that ooh-ah feeling, right? I got news for you. If you'll release your finances, you'll have more of an ooh-ah feeling than you've ever had in your whole life.
Yeah.
All that pressure you feel to hold on and control and take care of will be gone. Why? Because Jesus has it all.
Yeah.
There's some reality to that. Yeah, Pastor, that's the worst sermon illustration I've ever had. It's okay. It makes sense. It works. If we'll just release it, will be freed. Amen. Today I want to close with you this sermon series, the whole idea of matter being a money or money being a matter of worship. I said it before, I'll say it again. God desires for us to move from obedience to generosity to worship. Because when we worship him, we're giving him our heart. You see the circle? It's a circle. It's a cycle. It's ongoing. This thing We don't just give a one-off every year because worship. It's a lifestyle. We're going to see that in just a minute. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says this, and some of you know this by heart. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. So you ain't getting off the hook, ladies. This is for everybody, for all of the brothers and all the sisters. Everybody, look at your neighbor. Say, everybody.
Everybody.
So he's talking to you, brother. He's talking to you, sister. Are you with me now? He's talking to everybody. So I urge you, this is Paul. He's saying, hey, I don't suggest you do this. He's like, hey, I urge you, come on, come on, do this, do this. Paul is urging them. He's not suggesting. He's urging them. He says, in view of God's mercy, God been merciful to anybody in this room?
Yes.
Has God been merciful to anybody in this room?
Yes.
Yeah. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, underline that. Says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what the problem is with our finances is we like to consider them a godly blessing, but we want to operate with worldly principles. We want to apply all that business knowledge that we have to our finances. And if that business degree doesn't agree with the kingdom, then we're just going to go ahead and use that business degree. But we want to use our business degree and expect God to give us kingdom blessing. And Paul is saying, you can't operate the way the world operates because we're not of this world. Be renewed. Let your mind be transformed. Let your mind be changed by the power of God. Don't think like the world thinks. Think like the Word tells you to think. It's the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test what God's will is. You're trying to figure out God's will with your finances through your business degrees. Stop. God's not going to bless us unless we become kingdom-minded. We have to be kingdom-minded. Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, for this is your proper act of our lives are to worship the Lord. Everything we have, everything we are, to worship Him. And this idea of giving as worship isn't new. We know in the Old Testament, they came and they brought gifts of offerings of worship unto the Lord. Sacrifices were made to worship God. We know in the New Testament when baby Jesus was born, the wise men came and they gave gifts as a form of worship. Giving is worship. It's not a new concept. It's something that's been part of the kingdom since the very beginning. Money is a matter of worship. If we truly worship God, He's going to have our money. Perhaps there's no other story in Scripture that depicts this whole idea better than the one we find in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. It's a familiar story for most of you. It's a story of a poor widow woman. It reads like this: as Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting in their money for the temple treasury. How many of you would like that scenario? Hey, they're taking up offering. Well, I think I'll just come sit down right next to you while we're taking up offering. We'll just kind of see what happens. Anybody down with that? Did you like that, Brian? Jesus just come sit right next to you, start looking at you when you open up that wallet, kind of gauging your heart. How about that? Anybody down with that? Just have Jesus come sit next to you during offering? Anybody? Nobody? You don't want Jesus to come watch you give? Why? I got news for you. Newsflash. He's already watching. He already knows. He sat down across from the woman and all of those who had come to give. Why? Do you think Jesus was just spying on him to spy on him? Absolutely not. But every area of our life matters to Jesus, not just part of it. But Jesus brought the disciples in to teach them about giving. How many of you know if the disciples needed to learn about it, so do we? If Jesus brought the disciples into the temple to learn about finances, how many of you know we ought to be teaching about finances in the church? Okay. And here's what happens. It says, many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in what? She put in what? She put in what? You see that word again? You see it? Everything. Everything. All she had to live on. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time any of us did that? Gave all we had to live on. Now, that's not how it usually works. Usually, oh, I have to live on this, so I'm going to give this. I think the point here is not the amount. I mean, when you look at what was given, it wasn't about the amount that was given. She gave less than all the other rich people, Isaac, that were there. All these rich dudes coming in dressed up in their ties and their suits. Well, probably not then. They were probably wearing those long gowns and weird stuff that we wouldn't wear today. All the rich people garb. And they were dropping in lots of money because they were giving out of their wealth. Some of you like me say, Pastor, I don't have to worry about that. I ain't got none of that. I ain't got no wealth. I ain't got to worry about that. But the reality is we do have wealth. What Jesus is trying to teach them is this, is that she came and she gave everything she had. They gave a lot. In fact, it equaled financially more. But she gave all she had. The Bible says, Jesus looked at the disciples and says, she gave more than all of them. Because she gave everything she had. She came and worshiped the Lord with everything. It wasn't about the tithe. It was about worship. And when we worship the Lord, hear me, this may sound really strange, but if you understand this, I need you to say amen really loud, all right? When we begin to see our finances as a matter of worship, the tithe seems so small. Amen. It almost seems disrespectful that that's all we give. After all he's done for me, that's all I'm going to do for him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when we're not there and we're a long way from even giving our tithe, a tithe seems like a monstrous amount to give. But man, once our hearts belong to God and he has our heart, 10% is nothing. It's nothing. And I know for some of you where you sit, that just sounds ridiculous. But I promise you, if you'll give everything, God will give you everything. I've shared it before. I shared it just last week. I remember that day, like it was yesterday. We gave everything. Just let it go so I could come live in Dar es Salaam. Watched it drive down the road in somebody else's trailer. Mowing my yard, crying as I drove, mow by the for sale sign, thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? This is the only house we've ever owned, and my kids grew up here, and I'm selling my house so I can go live in Dar es Salaam. The beautiful weather, the beautiful streets, the cleanliness of Dar. Couldn't wait to get here. The reality is, I couldn't wait to get here. I couldn't wait to get here. And I know what it's like to see your stuff leave. But I said it before, and I'll say it again, boss. I'll get rid of my couch and my chair to come live life with you. Amen. I'll give up them cars in America to come hang out with you, Benjamin, all day long. I don't need that stuff, but I do need you. I don't need all that stuff, but I need you, Brian. I don't need, if I would have never made that decision, I would have never been able to come to our church and meet Mr. Parditi. But look at this. I'd give it all up just for that. What I have gained is so much more. Because the treasures of this world don't even compare to the treasures in the kingdom of God. Yes. And if we'll give everything, God will give us so much more. Yes. So money's not just a matter of the heart. It's also a matter of obedience. It's a matter of generosity, and it's a matter of worship. And if we'll worship the Lord, He will bless us. And we're blessed to be a blessing. It's not so we can say, look at what we have. That's not why God blesses us. He blesses us to be a blessing because the ocean wants to reach further. Amen. We want to reach more people. Amen. We want to claim more of this world for God's kingdom. Amen. We want to see the lost sons and daughters of Jesus come home. Amen. And we want to see God move in a mighty way. But we've got to be willing to give all that we have. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this sermon series. Thank you that it's stretching us, Lord. It's stretching us. It's growing us. It's challenging us. It may not feel good, but we know that it is good. And Lord, I pray that these principles and these precepts that we've learned, these kingdom boundaries that we have been taught these past few weeks, God, may they stick in our hearts, Lord. And may this become something, Lord, that we begin to work in our lives, we grow towards. Let us not run from it, but God, let us run to it and embrace it, God, knowing that if we will surrender everything to you, God, that you will bless so that we can be a blessing, having everything we need at all times, so that we can meet every need that's presented to us, Lord. That's our prayer as a church. That's our prayer as a church, Lord. God, bless your word, bless the message. God, let it work in our lives and do what you want it to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.